Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Young Pyromancers podcast. Joining me today over the air is Charlie.
Hi, guys.
And we are your co-hosts of the Young Pyromancers podcast. Today is episode 3, and let's get right into it.
So today we have a few things on our menu to say, so to say. But first off, here we're going to start with New Horizons. So some things happening in Magic nowadays. So you want to start us off, Ezra?
Sure. So first off, we've got today the Mystery Booster foils were released, and notably, we're getting reprints of Sen Triplets, Scourge of the Throne, Karthus, Tyrant of Jund, Braid of Fire, and Minamo, School at Water's Edge. Those are all just expensive cards that needed to come down. I still don't know. Because this is not, like, a massively produced set, I don't think these cards are actually going to come down into budget range for us. But it's still nice to have to bring them down into a reasonable range if we have the money to spend for them.
Yeah, it's a ray of hope. Like, Mana Crypt didn't decrease in price with its reprint.
But that was only in the convention. That wasn't even being sold in local game stores.
Yeah, it's still nice, but it's still nice to have some sort of new production of these expensive cards and make it possibly a little bit closer to budget players.
Yeah, and then we've got the new secret lair drop that should be releasing in the next few weeks. It's the Talia Guardian of Thraben secret lair drop, and it's four alternate, they're all different. It's like the Serum Visions secret lair drop, but they're all Talia, and so Talia is a 1 and a white creature. It's a 2/1.
Non-creature spells cost one more to cast.
Okay, so everyone's non-creature spells. Yeah, non-creature spells cost one more to cast. She's a legendary creature, human soldier, has first strike.
Yeah, so this is pretty cool, especially for players who like playing Death and Taxes variants. but another secret lair drop with some cool new art for a fairly highly played creature.
And then next, we have the Monday Banned and Restricted announcement. So Wizards announced after they stopped doing the Pioneer Weekly bans that they would no longer be following their monthly schedule of doing bans. They were just going to do bans whenever they wanted, but they would give 1 week of advanced notice. So on Monday, we're going to try to get this out by over the weekend. We're recording this on Friday, but then Monday, March 9th, there is going to be a ban restricted announcement. Some people are speculating on what it's going to be. I personally think it's going to be Inverter of Truth from Pioneer.
Yeah, that makes sense. Inverter decks are just so strong, and seeing as Inverter really is the key card, that's the one card that's Inverter is not played in any other deck. It's only played in Inverter decks with Thassa's Oracle. Mm-hmm. And it's such a strong deck in the format. I feel it kind of just hurts a lot of the other decks. And WotC has said that they don't want people to have to build around certain decks. And it's not a healthy metagame when, in a format, decks have to be made to play around a certain deck, such as Inverter.
Right, that's why they banned Splinter Twin, because it was too good, and everyone had to play Rakdos Charm or whatever.
Yeah. Alright, so why don't we get into our main topic today?
Our main topic today is the two color combinations, or the guilds, as they were called in Ravnica. So we're going to go through, talk about what they're all about, and let's start. We're now ordering our two color pairings differently, because the way we did it last episode was confusing. So instead, we're going to do it by the color wheel. So we've got white-blue, which is Azorius, as it was on Ravnica. Azorius's key archetypes are Blink, Voltron, but specifically auras, and then stacks. So Azorius is all about, manipulating and setting laws, setting boundaries, do this, don't do that.
Yeah, so a really kind of a very common Azorius commander is Brago, King Eternal. Mm-hmm. Brago is used in both Flicker and Stacks decks, so it kind of hits all of the, checks all the boxes. But it's very typical, and Brago is used in both decks that want to recur stuff and flicker stuff for value, which is one of the things Zerus wants to be doing. It also does stacks, because Brago can allow you to break parity by flickering your permanents that would be tapped, such as some orbs that only have their effects while they're untapped.
Like Static Orb, Winter Orb.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We decided for each of these guilds that we're going to pick a commander that would be great to build on a budget, and it has to be under $2.50. That's just the rule, as of the recording. The commander that we chose for Azorius is Bruna, Light of Alabaster. And so Bruna is a Aura's commander, and when she attacks, you can put any number of Auras from your hand or your graveyard and attach it to her.
Yeah, so she is 3 white, white, blue for a 5/5 angel with flying and vigilance. And she says, whenever Bruna attacks or blocks, you may attach to it any number of auras on the battlefield, and you may put onto the battlefield attached to it any number of aura cards that could enchant it from your graveyard and or hand.
See, it's kind of confusing, but basically what it is whenever she attacks or blocks, you just magnet all of the auras.
Yeah, it's just very strong, because it allows you to cheat out cards, which in Magic is one of the strongest things you can do. The ability to play things without actually paying for them. Is known for some, you know, some very broken strategies in history. But, so yeah, it's a very cool commander, and there's a lot, kind of a few ways you can go with it. You can play a lot of really cheap enchantments, or you can just play some really big auras or enchantments, and that is also another way you can go with it.
There's a bunch of great, like, giant enchantments that you can stick onto it for free.
Yeah.
So, like, Spectral Ward, there's, I mean, it's kind of expensive, but Eldrazi Conscription, Righteous Authority, and Celestial Mantle. Celestial Mantle might be my favorite. That's the one that when the enchanted creature hits, you double your life total. Its control is life total.
Yeah, white and blue also just have specifically Azorius, have a lot of strong auras and cards that synergize with auras.
Yeah, and then for each of these two color combinations, we picked another commander that's under the radar. And it has to have less than 250 decks on EDH Rec. It had to be released before in Ravnica Allegiance, so like at least a year or so. And it's less than $2.50, and it's not likely to move above the threshold.
Yeah, so that commander we're going to be talking about is Temet, Vizier of Noctamoon. So Temet is 1 white and 1 blue, so in Azorius, for a 2/2 legendary creature human cleric, and says, at the beginning of combat on your turn, target creature token you control gets +1/+1 until end of turn and can't be blocked this turn. It also has the ability Embalm. It's 3 white and a blue. It says 3 white and a blue. Exile this card from your graveyard. Create a token that's a copy of it, except it's a white zombie human cleric with no mana cost. Embalm only is a sorcery.
This one's cool. It reanimates itself, so you can actually get 2 uses out of your commander before it has to go back to the command zone.
Yeah, this is pretty cool. So this is kind of like a more unusual kind of Azorius commander, because it's focusing on a tokens buffing kind of thing, which is pretty unusual, but there are a lot of abilities that in Azorius that have to do with this. Blue has a lot of ways to make token copies of creatures, and white has some things that populate and make more copies of tokens. So it does work out in a sense, and it's a pretty cool commander. And only being 2 mana, it's just pretty fun and isn't too hard. Because you can just play your commander, you can start playing some tokens and get some damage in. So it's a pretty fun commander that that isn't too well known and can kind of just fly under the radar and get a lot of damage in if it's not dealt with early enough.
Let's move into blue-black, which is called Dimir on the Plane of Ravnica. The key archetypes for Dimir are Mill, Zombie Tribal, and Self-Mill/Graveyard. Those are the ones that we came up with for just our 3 key archetypes that Dimir really focuses on.
Yeah, so Dimir is kind of like a a grimy kind of guild. Dimir is very sneaky and kind of sly. It's known for having some spies, but it's also very, yeah, so it has a few kind of identities. And so the commander that we're going to talk about for building on a budget
is Gisun Garolf, which is 2 and a blue for a legendary creature, human wizard. There are 4/4. When Gisun Garolf enter the battlefield, put the top 4 cards of your library into your graveyard. During each of your turns, you may cast a zombie creature card from your graveyard.
Yeah, so this is a really cool card. So it's 4 mana for a 4/4 with a relevant enter the battlefield effect, which is already good and on rate. But that second ability, during each of your turns, you may cast a zombie creature card from your graveyard. That's a very strong ability for only 4 mana. So cards like Muldrotha allow you to cast one creature card from your graveyard per turn, but that is 6 mana, and it has a more restrictive cost. This commander is really cool in zombie tribal decks because zombies really do want to kind of recur themselves and be sacrificed and then come back. And so having this ability to, on top of any other shenanigans that you may be doing, having the ability to recast a zombie every one of your turns is very strong.
There's lots of good zombies that have been printed through Magic's history. I don't think you'll have any trouble finding zombies.
Oh, yeah. And most zombies are fairly cheap, too.
Yeah, I mean, there's some expensive ones. Some of them get up there. Yeah, but your cheap ones like Diagraph Captain and like Grey Merchant's a Zombie, Undead Augur, Lord of the Accursed, those are all cheap.
Yeah, there's just been so much zombie synergy that's been printed throughout time that it's just such a strong archetype that you can do a lot of stuff with zombie tribal in general. It's just a very strong archetype.
We've got an under-the-radar commander, which is Tygam, Sidisi's Hand. Tygam is 3 blue and a black for 3/4, legendary creature, human wizard. Tygam says, skip your draw step, and at the beginning of your upkeep, look at the top 3 cards of your library, put one of them in your hand, and put the rest in the graveyard. And then Tygam also has pay black and tap it. Exile X cards from your graveyard. Target creature gets -X/-X until end of turn.
Yeah, so this is a really cool commander in that it's 5 mana, and it allows you to essentially have a kind of Underworld Lich ability, except it's not a draw. It's at the beginning of your upkeep. So this is very cool and can have some secret synergies, as well as not only giving you some selection in what cards you're trying to draw and giving you the ability to put cards into your graveyard, but also allowing you to remove creatures as an activated ability, which can be very strong, and just get rid of some cards that you don't necessarily need to get rid of a threat.
It's great. It fills the graveyard, and then you can... it's removal on a stick as well.
Yeah, there are also some good... if you're trying to go this way and be kind of mean, there are some ways to stop everyone from drawing cards, and you're able to get past this by having Tygam's upkeep trigger, allowing you to get cards into your hand without actually drawing them, which, although a little mean, is a strong strategy to play.
Yeah, that's mean. I don't like that. I like drawing cards. I like drawing cards.
Who likes drawing
cards? On the podcast, we like drawing cards, but Ezra more. This seems like a deck you would build.
I thought Commander was about making your enemies
on. I thought it was a casual fun format, but okay.
Well, we can agree.
Okay, black-red is Rakdos. Its key archetypes are Discord/Madness, and there's Group Slug, and there's Aristocrats. So Rakdos is all about, let's sacrifice things, let's make a show, let's get blood and guts everywhere. Let's kill people and for fun.
Let's entertainment. You know, who doesn't love a good, exciting murder?
Right.
Yeah.
So the commander to build on a budget that we think is good to build on a budget is Anya Falconwrath from Commander 19. She is only now, like, what, 80 cents?
Yeah, so she is one black and a red for a, I believe it is a 1-3.
Yep, 1-3.
Vampire, legendary creature.
She's haste. And
yes,
tap, discard a card, and draw a card. And whenever you discard a card with madness, you may untap on your Falconrath.
Yeah, so this is a really cool commander. It can also be built a few different ways. So there are some ways to go very competitive with Anya that are not very expensive. And that is by putting just every card with madness that's not super expensive ever. And just using that to cycle through your library with Anya. And then also having some sort of win con, as well as cards that allow you to return to your hand cards that you have discarded this turn. There's a few effects that do stuff like this and just allows you to churn through so many cards in a turn or two and allows you to get to win cons very fast, which is a way to build Anya fairly competitively. But on the flip side, Anya can also just be built as in herself. She is a draw engine that can allow you to do a lot of very strong things because madness as an ability usually allows you to cast cards for less than face value, which is pretty strong if you're just continuously discarding cards, casting them for less than they really cost, and then drawing cards and untapping Anya. A very strong ability just in general, and a strong commander to build around. So our commander under the radar.
Yeah, Olivia, mobilized for war. She is one, a black, and a red for a vampire. She's a 3-3. And she says... Oh, sorry. There we go. It loaded.
Yeah, so she's one, a black, and a red for a 3-3 vampire knight with flying. And she says, whenever another creature enters the battlefield under your control, you may discard a card. If you do, put a +1/+1 counter on that creature. It gains haste until end of turn, and it becomes a vampire in addition to its other
types.
It's a
lot of words, but in essence, you're just making everything bigger. All the creatures you play become bigger, and then you can attack with them and just wreck your opponents.
Yeah, kind of similarly to Anya, there's a few ways to go with it, with this commander. You can play it with madness by playing creatures, discarding cards, and then if those discarded cards are creatures with madness, you can cast them, kind of loop this together, as well as just having this as a way to you discard cards for some kind of reanimation strategy. Or, thirdly, you can just play some big creatures, discard some cards, deal a lot of damage, and just make the table hurt.
Yep, let's move on to our Gruul. The Gruul clans, red, green. The key archetypes are lands, and then like creatures, but like stompy, so giant, big, Gruul, big creatures, and then messing with combat.
So creature, ramp, land. Gruul just likes, you know, doing.
Like they don't care about anything, just playing. Make big, stupid creatures and smack your opponents with them.
Who doesn't like a roll? Yeah, right. Worm?
So our commander is Nikia of the Old Ways. Nikia's 3 red and a green. Legendary creature, Centaur Druid. She's a 5/5. You can't cast non-creature spells. Whenever you tap a land for mana, add 1 mana of any type that land produced. So doubles all of your mana, but with the downside that you can't cast non-creature spells. So the idea is you're playing 38 lands and 56 creatures. And that's just how you go. Not 56, sorry, 62 creatures.
Yeah, so this is pretty interesting. And it's really fun to build around because there are a lot of creatures that can do things that you wouldn't kind of expect creatures to do, like tutor for cards and draw you cards and ramp you and destroy artifacts or enchantments like Reclamation Sage. And it kind of allows you to have this kind of feel of, it doesn't matter that I can't cast non-creature spells. I have the creatures that can do that
like
for me.
Sunder Shaman is destroying lots of artifacts and enchantments. Manglehorn is destroying artifacts. You get lots of Card Draw, Garrix Horde, Garrix Pack Leader. Yeva, Nature's Herald is weird card, and you flash in stuff on other people's turns. This deck's fun to play. I do have a Nikia deck, but it's definitely not optimized. I haven't done a ton of work on it, but it's a fun deck to play because you're just playing tons of mana and you're just smacking people with big creatures.
Yeah, it's very interesting, and I just like to give a quick shout out to if I ever were to build a Nikia deck, the one non-creature spell I would put in the deck, which is Primal Surge. So, Primal Surge is a very funny card. Primal Surge is 10 mana for a sorcery. It says, exile the top card of your library. If it's a permanent card, you may put it onto the battlefield. If you do, repeat this
process. It's not even that expensive. It's like $3.
Yeah, so basically the idea here is, if you can cast Primal Surge, you can put every permanent in your deck onto the battlefield and hopefully win the game now that you have 99 permanents on the battlefield. So it's a very interesting way to win the game, and it feels very good if you can get it done. But it's just a little interesting kind of trick you can do if you're trying to play a deck with a lot of
Blue Sun Zenith, X equals one.
Yeah.
Be careful. If you play Primal Surge in this deck, you put your whole deck on your battlefield. If someone has a way to make you draw a card, you lose.
Yeah. So I assume you would want to play something like Loaming Shaman or something.
Yeah, that would be a good idea.
To avoid this happening. But it's a very cool commander, and it kind of gives you a cool new look into not playing non-creature spells, but having so much access to mana on somewhere from turns 4 to 6 and getting up to like 15 mana on turn 5 or 6, which is pretty
now
crazy.
We've got our Gruul Under the Radar commander, which is Ulash the Hateseed, 2 red and a green, legendary creature Hydra, 0/0. Clap, 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 clap. Woo! Ulash the Hateseed comes into play with a 1/1 counter on it for each other red creature you control, and 1/1 counter on it for each other green creature you control. And pay 1 and remove a 1/1 counter from Ulash to choose 1. It deals 1 damage to target creature, or put a 1/1 green sapling creature into token into play.
So this is a pretty cool card. So there's a few ways to build this, but I think the clearer way to do this is to just play some cards that really swarm the battlefield, and just make a really big Ulash, and then have this toolbox ability to just deal damage to a bunch of creatures or just put a lot of creatures into play.
You've got cards like Grumgully the Generous that help it get one more plus one. It gives it an extra 1/1 counter. Mykoloth does stuff. It gives you like tokens to go wide with Ulash. Zotar Druid is another swarm creature. Wart the Raid Mother, Hooded Hydra. Those are just some examples. Get tons of cards under the board.
Yeah. Yeah, so this card kind of reminds me of the Commander Morath, Will of the Wild, in that they both enter with +1/+1 counters, and you can remove them to make some tokens. And I just like to note that this commander can be built in goblins if you'd like to, seeing as goblins is a very good synergy in my opinion
from the Krenko player tribe. Yeah, there's definitely lots of goblins and I'm looking
coming from me as a Krenko player, I'd like to say that goblins are very honorable fellows. But yeah, so this is a pretty cool commander, and having this ability for 4 mana to potentially have an enter with a lot of counters and being a pretty big creature for only 4 mana and have that ability to remove counters from it and deal some damage to other creatures that might be pesky.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool commander.
Pretty cool.
Definitely flying under the radar.
Yeah, it's a Hydra.
Hydra Tribal would be good. Another under the radar commander that we didn't mention that's a little bit harder to build into a budget. I'm just going to say this from memory, but Roisin Meanderer is a good card. Most of it doesn't matter, but you can tap it for 4 colorless.
four color mana, and you can tap it to cast X spells. Yeah, Gruul X.
That's a really cool commander.
Pretty cool. Kind of like it also kind of works with Hydras, because there are typically a lot of Hydras that have X in their casting cost. So just a very cool card that can be kind of built in a few different ways, just noting it.
Oh, that's what I want to do. That would be so fun, resolving the Steelbane Hydra, the Total Hydra. Roisin Meander's friend. Roisin's best friend, the Total. Okay, green-white. Selesnya is our next guild. Selesnya is all about the community. Let's join together. Let's make friends. Let's make memories. Let's make lots and lots of animals. Let's make lots of friends. Let's grow lots of gardens. Let's do lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of things.
Shall we sing the Care Bears?
What about the My Little Pony theme song? I'm kidding. Okay. Welcome back to singing dumb theme songs with Ezra and Charlie. Key archetypes.
Don't you dare call the My Little Pony theme song.
This is dumb. Where we hit the roadblocks in our program.
So some key archetypes of Selesnya are tokens. So go wide, which means to create a lot of very small tokens, particularly 1/1s, and just create so many creatures and swarm the board and overwhelm everyone else. Or tokens going tall, which means making a few very big tokens and trampling over your opponents with your very, very tall tokens. Or, of course, Cat Tribal.
Yeah, Cat Tribal's fun.
Yeah, such as in
Erebos cheap. I considered putting it in there. But I like this other one more, which recently just became budget because of a reprint. Yay. Okay, Tristani Selesnya's voice is green, green, white, white for a druid. Dryad. Tristani. My bad. Legendary creature Dryad. Yeah. 2/5. Whenever another creature enters the battlefield under your control, you gain life equal to that creature's toughness. And then one, a green and a white, and tap it. Populate.
Yeah, so this is a pretty cool commander. Having this ability to gain a lot of life whenever a creature enters the battlefield can be very, very strong. And just having this creature that's a 2/5, which is pretty... 5 toughness is pretty strong. And just having this ability that is consistently gaining you life throughout the game, and having the ability to populate every one of your turns for only 3 mana is just very cool, and there's a lot of way to build around this commander. I would just like to note that there's a few really cool cards that go with this commander, like Phyrexian Processor.
That's really cool.
The 4 mana artifact, when it enters the battlefield, you pay any amount of life, and it has 4 and tap, and you put a minion token into play with power and toughness equal to the amount of life you paid. So the trick here is you have Tristani out, and then you can play for Phyrexian Processor, paying 39 life, and then you activate it, putting a 39-39 minion into play, going back to 40 life, and now having a 39-39 that you can do this process again next turn.
Yeah, so you just do this over and over again, you get lots of 39-39. Or whatever life you paid. Like, you obviously can't pay 39 life if you have 35 life. So you pay X minus 1, where X is your life total.
Yeah. So this is a really cool commander. I would just like to note really quick that MTG Mudsta on YouTube has a very cool Tristani Selesnya's voice deck that I would suggest you check out.
We got another shout out. Jumbo Commanders Tristani Selesnya's voice is also really cool. That's a fun video that I want.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's clear to see here that Tristani Selesnya's voice is
cool. Got, as some say, slightly downgraded. I don't know, I kind of like this next one. It's another version of Tristani. It's a newer one that came out in Guilds of Ravnica.
Yep. this is under the radar. So this is a fairly So yeah, so this is Tristani Discordant. It's 3, a green, and a white. So a less, slightly more mana, but a less restrictive casting cost for a 1/4 dryad. She says, other creatures you control get +1/+1. When Tristani enters the battlefield, create 2 1/1 white soldier creatures tokens with lifelink. Just noting, these 1/1s are more likely 2/2s because Tristani buffs them. And she says, at the beginning of your end step, each player gains control of all creatures they own.
Yeah, that doesn't come up that much. Yeah, I don't think that would be relevant a ton of the time.
Yeah, it's just a little extra ability to kind of add on to the kind of group hug feeling of Tristani. So Tristani just feels very nice, but in reality, this is a very strong commander. You're getting essentially 5 power and 8 toughness for 5 mana, which is very strong, and 4 of that being lifelink. But Tristani can be built a few ways. So again, you can clearly make a tokens deck with this buff from Tristani, which is pretty good. But you can also kind of build it as a flicker deck, in a sense, because you can repeatedly flicker Tristani and create more and more tokens. So that's kind of a sub-theme you can build Tristani with. But it's a pretty interesting commander. Maybe not as explosive or kind of intriguing as Tristani Selesnya's voice, but possibly a little more budget-friendly and still a very potentially powerful.
You also want to play both of them in each other's decks. So play the one Tristani in the other deck. And so Selesnya's voice, put it in the Discordant deck, and Discordant in the Selesnya's voice deck. So whatever it is, just play them both. They're good cards.
Yeah, roll a die.
That would be really fun if you just had, because so many Selesnya commanders have to do with tokens, just have like a suite of like 8 commanders that all have to do with tokens, and then you just roll a die and just see which. And then you're like, I'm playing this one. Let's move on to Izzet. Let's move on to Izzet. Blue red. They are the electricians and the mechanics of Ravnica, and they're all about, well, that's what their day job is supposed to be, but really it's just like, let's explode things and be happy. I mean, not as much be happy, let's just explode things.
Build things.
Lots of electricity.
Do it all over again.
Lots of Mizzium. Lots of stuff flying everywhere. Their key archetypes are Spellslingers, Artifacts, and like Wheels or card draw. Wheels are cards that make everyone discard their hand and then everyone draws new cards.
So our first commander here, our main course here, is Niv-Mizzet Perun. Niv-Mizzet Perun is a 5/5 dragon wizard for blue, 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 red, red, red. So 6 mana, and all of it is colored mana. It has, this spell can't be countered. And flying, it says, whenever you draw a card, Niv-Mizzet Perun deals 1 damage to any target. And whenever a player casts an instant or sorcery spell, you
this
draw
is
a card.
Lots and lots of text, but the important stuff is when you draw a card, deals 1 damage to anything. Whenever a player, anyone, casts an instant or sorcery, you draw a card. So this goes infinite with some cards like Curiosity, Ophidian Eye, and Tandem Lookout. But if you don't want to play like that, you just play a simple, like your generic Izzet Spellslinger deck. Lots and lots of stuff. Opt, Brainstorm, Gutter Snipe, Faithless Looting, Tower End. Play as many instants and sorceries as you can that they replace themselves. Pump them all out into the board. Destroy everyone. Boom.
Yeah, just really strong, and especially with whenever any player casts an instant or sorcery spell. So if another player is attempting to cast one or more instant or sorceries in a turn, you're drawing that many cards and dealing that much damage, which is a very strong ability. So if you can get this card out, although it's a little tricky, especially in a budget deck with a tricky mana base, this card is very, very strong. And if you can get it some kind of evasion, it's likely that you'll take over the game in no time.
Not backup commander. Under the radar commander is Nin the Pain Artist. Nin is red and blue for a 1/1 legendary creature Vedalken Wizard. Nin has X blue and a red and tap it. Nin the Pain Artist deals X damage to target creature. That creature's controller draws X cards.
Yeah, so this is there's a really cool commander, and there's kind of a few ways to go with this commander. So of course there is a way to play this commander where you can generate infinite mana and then deal a lot of damage and make your opponents draw a lot of cards. But alternately, there's a kind of a politics way to build this commander. You can say, hey, if you don't want your creature, or if you want your creature to die, I'll let you draw some cards. We can make that deal. And so there's a lot of weird and really cool ways to kind of build around this commander.
There's a really fun but also kind of mean strategy where you play Willbreaker. Willbreaker is 3 blue-blue for a creature, human wizard, 2/3. Whenever a creature an opponent controls become the target of a spell or ability that you control, gain control of that creature for as long as you control Willbreaker. So every time you activate Nin, you steal the creature. It's mean. But the other way that you can just play this deck is you can get as many of the indestructible artifact creatures, and then you can target it with Nin's ability, and then you draw all the cards because it doesn't die.
Yeah. You know, having the ability to X, blue, red, and tap to draw that many cards, nothing.
Yeah, it's good. Any commander with card draw on it is just a good card. Let's move to Golgari. Golgari is the Undercity realm. They live under the cities of Ravnica, and they swarm around, and they like insects and bugs and sewers. They're swimming in your sewage. Okay, look out for the Golgari. Okay, anyways, but their key archetypes are Aristocrats, Graveyard, and Counters, which are normally -1/-1 counters, but in the case of Skullbriar, they're +1/+1 counters.
Yeah, so black, green, and Sultai, which includes blue, really enjoy using the graveyard, particularly with some specific commanders.
May or may not be named Muldrotha, played by Mayor.
No, they don't necessarily. They don't need.
And they're definitely not piloted by someone named Charlie.
I mean, you could go there, but
Slimefoot the Stowaway is an example commander, and one that's very good for building on a budget. Slimefoot is 1/1 and a green. 2/3 legendary creature fungus. Whenever a sapling you control dies, Slimefoot the Stowaway deals 1 damage to each opponent and you gain 1 life. And then you pay 4 and create a 1/1 green sapling creature token.
Yeah, so this is a really cool commander for a couple reasons. First of all,
it's pretty cool.
Sapling Tribal is just awesome. Secondly, this is really good to build on a budget because a lot of the cards that are Sapperling Tribal, they're kind of spread out over all of Magic, and also they're not very expensive because Sapperling Tribal has never been super strong in Magic, but over the entirety of the span of Magic, there's been a fair amount of very strong Sapperling synergy cards, and now there's enough and there's a strong commander so that you can put together a strong deck with all these random cards from sets from like Dominaria to M14 to some really
there was lots of them in Future Sight. So they did some of the, I think it was Future Sight, and then they reprinted them all in Modern Masters, so there's, and Time Spiral, so there was lots of these Thalids that got spore counters, and then you could remove spore counters from them and create saplings. So there's definitely some sapling tribal going on, but it's a fun deck to play.
Yeah, and recently there's also been some support for saplings. Oh, like,
what was that? What's that one? Tendershoot Dryad?
Yeah. Tendershoot Dryad is a fairly expensive card, but yeah, it's good. There's some stuff like Verdant Force, which was printed in Dominaria. But also, being in Golgari and creating a bunch of Sapperling tokens, you have access to not only token cards, but also kind of sacrifice kind of synergies with stuff like Blood Artist and being able to sacrifice creatures for value since you're creating all these Sapperlings and with nothing to do with them. Having nothing to do with them. So, pretty strong there.
Also, Commander's plural. Gorm the Great and Votus the Veiled. So, they only have 215 decks. And so, Gorm the Great is 3 in a green, 2/7, legendary creature, giant warrior, potent with Votus the Veiled. Vigilance, Gorm the Great must be blocked if able and must be blocked by 2 or more creatures if able. So that, I mean, Gorm isn't the one really commanding the deck. The one who's like really commanding the deck is Votus the Veiled, the sneaky dude. Legendary creature, Azura Assassin, 2 and a black, 1/1. Death Touch, when Votus the Veil deals combat damage to a player, that player loses half their life, rounded up. That's not as good, but, like, it's
up. So, yeah. So, this is just very, very cool, because these commanders kind of work really well together, and there's some very cool synergies that can be done with this.
Yeah, there's stuff that makes everyone block it, like those Noble Query, Okrun Assassin, Lure, Destined to Lead, there's Taunting Elf.
Yeah, and there's some synergies that can just let you win the game with making your opponents lose half their life, and you can kind of do a kind of group slug deck and making all your opponent's life become very, very low, where without even needing that combat damage trigger from Virtus, that
one there's like Scythe Claw, Infiltration Lens, there's Fire Shrieker, Quietus Spike. There's a bunch of these cards. I mean, then people also like to play the stuff that like makes people lose half their life, like those Dire Fleet Ravager, Skullstorm.
Yeah. So it's just a pretty cool partner commanders and partner commanders in general. When not in CEDH are kind of not seen too much, especially the Battle Bond, like, designed partners. And so it's pretty cool to see these commanders in Golgari that have a kind of less seen Golgari aspect to them, but they still work together really well, and they can be built in a very cool way with some
Golgari. All-time champion of Budget Commander, but first we'll talk about Red White, which is Boros. They are the superheroes of Ravnica. They're the police. Azorius is the police. Boros is the military. They're all the athletes, and they're the ones who are jumping out of the airplanes, and they're like, boom, bad guy, boom. We got you now. Yeah, assemble the Legion.
Assemble.
Avengers assemble. Okay, but our commander. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Key archetypes are Spellslinger, Bone, and like stuff that triggers when you're attacking. So like Aurelia the War Leader is a good example of that. So Boros has a special place in Commander players' hearts. I'm kidding. But Boros is the bane of the color wheel of Commander because it's just so not strong because you can't ramp and you can't draw cards.
Yeah. It doesn't have... Yeah, so ramp and card draw are arguably the most important things in Commander, and Red and White lack in both of those. But the commander we're going to be talking about here to build on a budget is sort of an exception in a card that's really stood out recently. So this is Feather, the Redeemed. Feather is red, white, a red, a white, and a white for a 3/4 angel with flying. So already we're above rate. This is 3 mana for a 3/4 flying. But Feather says, whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell that targets a creature you control, exile that card instead of putting it into your graveyard as it resolves. If you do, return it to your hand at the beginning of the next step.
So whenever you cast a spell that targets one of your creatures, it just gets swooped back into your hand at the end of the turn. Which is super cool because you can just play them over and over and over again.
Yeah, I mean, it's a viable deck, literally, to just play Feather, 38 lands, and then just every card that says, like, target creature you control gets +2/+2 until end of turn, and some cards like Expedite that are, like, one mana, and say, target creature you control, like, gains haste or something like that, and then you draw
cards. Yeah, and then everything's cheap, because there's all these strategy. Just, like, pump spells that have just been terrible in Commander, but now all of a sudden you can play them all. It's great. I love Feather. It's such a well-designed card. Good job, Wizards.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, no one really wants Crimson Wisps, which is one red instant that makes you just, it basically doesn't do anything, except it makes you draw a card. And now there's
it gives
really
a creature hate.
Strong card or in Feather that's made this card just go up quite a bit in price solely because it's so strong in Feather, because it's a one mana cantrip that goes back into your hand. It's
It's great.
Crazy. And it gives creatures haste.
Let's move on to Under the Radar Commander, which is Tiana, Ship's Caretaker. Tiana is 2/3, a red and a white.
Yeah.
For a 3/3 legendary creature, Angel Artificer. Okay. Tiana is at 3/3. And Tiana has flying and first strike, and whenever an aura or equipment you control is put into a graveyard from the battlefield, you may return that card to its owner's hand at the beginning of the next end step. I think this was their first attempt at an iteration of Feather, but they just didn't quite hit it on the nose. It's still fine. Like, you still get the card advantage.
Yeah, so it allows you to play an aura or equipment theme in Boros, and it gives you a little bit of card advantage in Boros, which really needs card advantage, to say the least. But it's kind of cool. And there's auras in particular. There's a lot of good auras, particularly in white, that are removal cards instead of instead of Voltron type cards. So there's a few pretty cool ways to build this and possibly repeatedly just casting auras and giving pacifism type effects to all your opponent's creatures.
Yeah, it seems like a pretty fun deck to play.
Everything else out of the game.
Let's move on to Simic, which is a green-blue guild.
Seems cool.
Last guild, almost there. Simic, they're the scientists of Ravnica. They like experimenting on creatures and combining creatures and making weird things. So it's like, it would be really strange if someone took off, like, a llama's head and put it on a frog. But no, they do whatever they want. Yeah. Simic does what they want to do.
Simic does what they like to do.
And their key archetypes are +1/+1 counters to signify, let's mutate things and do weird things. And let's make it everything big. Lands or ramp, let's grow everything. And Merfolk Tribal, which, because in Ixalan, green was introduced as a Merfolk color. It's now green-blue is now a very popular Merfolk color.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of Merfolk support recently. And even a Merfolk commander in Simic and Tishana.
Well, Kumena is the big one.
Although that's not who we're going to be talking about.
Yeah, Kumena is the big one. We are talking about a great commander to build on a budget. A little bit on the pricier side in terms of the commander, but everything else in the deck is cheap. Tatiova Benthic Druid, which I recently built with the help of Charlie. Tatiova's 3 green and a blue. For a legendary creature, Merfolk Druid, 3/3. Whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, you gain 1 life and draw a card.
Yes, this is a really cool ability. So, basically, the game plan here is play lands, draw cards, play more lands,
Big Scary Things. Draw more play cards. Big Scary Things. It's Simic, good stuff good with cards. Lots of lands and ramp. It's it's a pretty straightforward deck. There's not that many ways to build it differently.
Yeah, basically. So pretty straightforward. It's not super complicated, and it can't be built a ton of ways. But if you're trying to find a basic deck to get into Magic or something,
or getting into Commander from casual 60 card casual for you. Kitchen table.
So just a nice, easy to play commander that can be built pretty strongly with if you have enough ramp cards and you're consistently just drawing more cards and playing more lands. You can really churn through your deck very fast.
Our other commander is Zygana, Utopian Speaker. Zygana only has 90 decks. Zygana is 2 green and blue for a 4/4 legendary creature, Mofolk Wizard.
So Zygana is a 4/4 Merfolk Wizard, like I just said. And when Zygana enters the battlefield, if you control another creature with a +1/+1 counter on it,
likely it's going to be draw a card. Elvish Visionary. So you draw a card.
And then she says, so already pretty good. 4 mana, 4/4, draw a card when it enters the battlefield. And it has 4 green and a blue, adapt 4, which means if this creature has no +1/+1 counters on it, put 4 +1/+1 counters on it. And lastly, it says, each creature you control with a +1/+1 counter on it has trample. Cool. So, it's not necessarily the strongest commander. And it's possible that there's stronger Simic +1/+1 counter commanders. But on a budget, if you want this commander, it's pretty strong. And if you're trying to make a big creature Simic deck with counters, this can be pretty strong because there are some cards that have been printed in Magic that put a lot of counters on one or two creatures.
Like Galloping Lizard.
Kind of way to just overwhelm your opponents. And
That's a good card.
And Increasing Savagery is a card.
Is that the one that doubles on the counters? It gives you
a lot of counters. Increasing Savagery is 2 a green and a green for a sorcery.
Oh, got it. It says
put 5 +1/+1 counters on target creature. But that's not all. It has flashback for 5 green and a green. And if it was Increasing Savagery says, if this spell was cast from a graveyard, or this means flashback, was flashback, essentially, put 10 +1/+1 counters on that creature instead. So this puts a lot of counters on a creature and works out pretty well if you're putting 15 counters.
One that I was going to talk about was Biogenic Trample. Upgrade. That was the card I was thinking of. 4 green, green for a sorcery. And then you can put 3 +1/+1 counters among 1, 2, or 3 creatures. And then you double the number of 1/1 counters on each of those creatures. So just, if you put that on Zygana, if Zygana's already adapted, Zygana will be an 8/8, then an 11/11, and then Zygana will turn into a 22/22. Zygana would be a really fun Voltron commander. That actually seems fun. Zygana +1/+1 counter, but Voltron seems fun.
Yeah, I feel like. So now let's really quickly talk about the.
Oh, we always forget a guild. I'm sorry, Orzhov. Last week it was Izzet, but now it's Orzhov.
Oh, Orzhov.
I'm an Orzhov. I should not forget Orzhov.
We have nothing against you, Orzhov. It's just, it's not you. It's just your key.
What was that segue? That was terrible.
Which are life gain, aristocrats, and tokens.
Taysa Karlov is our commander. 2 white and black. 2/4 legendary creature, human advisor. If a creature dies, if a creature dying causes a triggered ability of a permanent you control to trigger, that ability triggers an additional time. That's a fancy way of saying if stuff dies and it makes something happen, do it again. Creature tokens you control have vigilance and lifelink.
So each of those abilities by itself is already very strong, but with both of those, it kind of gives you a clear way of building this deck.
So it's a, it basically gives you the idea that you want to play cards that say, when this creature dies, create a token, and then that token's going to have extra abilities. So together, putting those together, it's very strong, and there's been a lot of cards printed that are strong abilities that have to do with tokens. So I'll just talk about a few of those really quickly. So there's cards like Blood Artist that deal damage, and stuff like Pawn of Ulamog, which whenever a non-token creature like Pawn of Ulamog dies, you can create a 0/1 colorless Eldrazi spawn that you can sacrifice for mana, which ramps you. So there's just a lot of cards that have to do with tokens and stuff dying that are very strong, and so it's not too expensive.
Commander, one that's flying under the radar, is another Taysa Envoy of Ghosts, 5W&A for a legendary creature human advisor, 4/4, vigilance, protection from creatures. Whenever a creature deals combat damage to you, destroy that creature and put a 1/1 black and white spirit token with flying onto the battlefield. That one's also kind of relevant, but Taysa is a defense piece. But the main reason why I was drawn to Taysa was because of that natural protection from creatures clause. So there's lots of these builds that are involving like Xtor, Camball, or whatever, like a control build or token build. But I think this would actually be fun. I don't know what it is with me and Voltron today, but building this like a Voltron commander and attaching lots and lots of like auras to it and equipments.
That does seem intriguing. You can attack with Taysa, keep your shields up with a big creature, and
yeah, because that's normally the weakness of Voltron. You're spending all of your resources on this one creature, but then if it dies or you need to keep it back for a blocker, but you don't need to anymore because it has vigilance and protection from creatures, so you keep it back as a blocker.
Yeah, and if one other weakness of Voltron is having your card like removed from combat or something like that, but it doesn't matter too much with Taysa because Taysa's just passive ability.
Yeah, the only thing I would change is I wish this was like 5 or 6 mana. That would have made it so much better. Like if it was a 3/3 and a 5 mana.
Yeah, 7 is a very high price, and if it gets removed before you have the chance to put some protection on Taysa,
yeah,
it's backbreaking to have to cast your commander for 9 mana for only the back. So that is one of the noticeable drawbacks of playing Taysa Envoy.
That's it, yeah. Just making sure that we didn't miss another guild, okay?
Yeah, that is all 10
of our guilds.
Sorry
about that again, Orzhov. Okay, yeah, Taysa, please don't murder me. Okay,
6, 7, 8,
closing remarks.
There we go.
Yeah, thanks for listening, everyone. Be sure to like, share, and subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts. We're now getting distributed out into the world. So, yeah, sharing, I guess, is the big one. Like, share, get more views for us. Get out into the world. Okay, everybody. All right, see you guys.
Yeah, no, that's all.